All right. Thank you for being here this morning. Can we turn that up? Thanks. That'd be great. Thank you. Well, keep your Bibles open to Ecclesiastes. I will get right to it. We're on a tight schedule here, but I want us to get what I have for you this morning. We're going to talk over a subject that can be controversial. I don't know why it would be controversial, but it does cause a lot of problems if we don't have it under control, if we don't understand it. And I don't know, I sound like I'm in a box this morning. Are my monitors not on? Or are we just muffled a little bit? If we could work on that. Thanks. You know, over the past few years, we've had several young couples get married, and whenever they get married, they'll come in and we'll do premarital counseling. We'll, just for a couple weeks, we'll just go over some things to help them to get ready for marriage, if that is even possible, but we try. And so there are certain key subjects that we talk about. We talk about the importance of communication and talking together. And I don't have any monitors, guys, down here, if we could work on that a little bit. We talk about the importance of having in-law relationships, okay? When you marry someone, you marry their family. That doesn't mean you have to live with their family, but you marry their family. We talk about the importance of children, not just having children, but having the same kind of philosophies of raising children and those type of things. Most people get married and they don't even think about these things until later, and it's too late. We talk about love languages. I don't have time to explain that one. We talk about the importance of a relationship with God. But if I look at all the subjects that I spend time on, the one I spend the most time on is finances. Finances kill a lot of relationships. We just don't understand how to take care of our finances. We don't understand how to be careful with our finances and not to get ourselves into financial trouble. And it's very, very important. You look around, you can go find yourself a financial manager. And I'm not necessarily for or against that, okay? Some are very helpful, others may not be. But the fact of the matter is, all of us need financial advice. All of us do. The Bible speaks a lot about finances. When we think of stewardship, it's the fact that we are literally stewards of everything that God has given to us. And one of those things it deals with is our finances and our possessions. But if we're going to be a manager of the things that God has given us, then we need to learn how to manage. It's just common sense. We're going to look at somebody in the Bible today that's going to help us. If there's one person in the Bible an average observer would want to be like, if you haven't read the whole story, it'd be Solomon. Everybody would look at Solomon and say, I want to be him. He had it all, didn't he? He was a powerful king. And by the way, not just a powerful king, he had a very peaceful kingdom. He had abundance of wisdom, and he was well known during his time, and people came and sought out his wisdom. He wrote books of the Bible, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. He was the one that God chose to build the temple. By the way, a very magnificent building. He was the wealthiest man who ever lived. I mean, he could have bought Twitter and Instagram. He could have bought all of it. And if you don't have your mind right, he had all the women he ever wanted. 700 wives, 300 substitutes. By the way, that only sounds appealing to a single guy. Once you're married, it's like, one, I'm good. And above this, he got anything he ever desired. To save time, we won't go over it, but if you'll look in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, the first 10 verses, the key word there is I. He says, He says, I got me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens. I planted trees. I made me pools of water. I got me servants and maidens. I had great possessions of great and small cattle. I gathered me silver and gold. I'm just going through here. I was great and increased more than all that was before me. And verse 10 of chapter 2 we would want to look at. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. That probably explains all the wives. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion, my portion of my labor. You know what he basically said? I got anything I wanted. If I looked at something or I saw it, I'm like, I'd like to have that, he got it. You know, women sometimes go window shopping. Right? Now, they don't buy windows. That's not what they're doing. They go and they don't plan on buying stuff. They just look at it. Okay? There's a guy who was with his wife one time, and she was window shopping. She goes, why do they call it shopping? You don't buy anything. And she looked at him and said, well, why do you call it fishing? You don't catch anything. That type of thing. Okay? Now, that's for you average guys. When I go, we catch. That's why I take Brother Ross with me. But whatever he wanted, he got it. He's got it. By the way, somebody quoted, I think it was Brother Carr during youth conference. If you get to verse, I believe it's 17, he says, therefore I hated life. See, Solomon had everything we ever wanted. Solomon had, we would look at his life and say, that's who I want to be. And you know what he said? I hated life. I hated it. Why? Because that stuff was never designed to bring joy. Several years ago, I did a series on Sunday mornings through Ecclesiastes, and I entitled it, The Autobiography of a Confused Believer. You read this book, and you get suicidal. You get depressed. Because he's not happy. He found out that there are problems in life. Now, this is where we're going. That cannot be solved by finances. That cannot be solved with possessions. So I want to look at that this morning. You know, someone says, if you're going to learn from a mistake, it's better to learn from somebody else's mistake than your own mistake, right? Now, if something bad goes on in your life, learn from that. But boy, I'd rather learn from somebody else's mistake so I don't go down that road. That's what he found. That's what we're going to look at here. So in this chapter, Solomon, in the verses we read, talks about some things about possessions and money and wealth and how it plays out in life. And I want us to see that because he lived it. And he can tell it from that angle. First of all, I want to just go through some things that money doesn't solve. Money can't help you with. Number one. Satisfaction. Look at verse 10 of chapter 5. It says, he that loveth silver shall not be what? Satisfied with silver. Here's a person that wants it, and they desire it, and they get it, and they're still not satisfied. Okay? Why? Because it was never designed to satisfy. That's why people go, they'll spend their lives chasing it, and they'll never get it. And even if they do get it, it's like, it doesn't satisfy. You think it's what you need, but it doesn't help. Do you know a lot of times it'll cause more dissatisfaction in your life? You know why people play the lottery? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, they're bad at math, okay? You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning than winning the lotto. But people play the lotto, and they're willing to waste their money on that and gamble and all these other things because they believe if they would just get money, they would be satisfied. And by the way, let me say this. I'm not against money. It comes in handy when you have a bill. I'm not against working hard. I'm not. I say it over and over. If I'm working somewhere and they're giving out raises, I think I'd be a better steward of that than somebody else. I mean, if you're giving it out, I'm going to work hard and try to get it, okay? But I'm not going to live for it. I'm not going to think that if I get it, everything is going to be okay. Some of the most miserable people are those that have everything that they want. People just think that's it. I don't know if my wife remembers. I remember there was a guy I worked with in the early days of the church. I worked at a warehouse, and I was working there. And we were talking one night at work. He goes, you know what? He goes, I play the lotto. He goes, and I told my wife, if I ever win the lotto, I'm going to give her half, and I'm going to ditch her and the kids and go live my life. Now, I thought that was just warehouse talk. So a couple years later, I was trying to reach these guys, and so we had a basketball league at the old church, and I got the guys I work with, and we had our own team. And I thought, let's bring the guys to church. And this guy was on my team, and he came, and his wife came. I'm like, hey, why don't we go out to eat afterwards? Well, my wife and I will take you and your wife out. And so we went, we were eating, and I don't know how we were talking about something. He goes, oh, remember that thing I told you? Ask my wife. Just ask her. And I'm like, hey, what would your husband do if he won the lotto? She goes, I already know. He'd give us half of us, and he'd leave us and the kids and take off. And he thought that was funny. I think it's silly. I think it's warped. He's saying, in essence, that would satisfy me other than these relationships in my life. See, when you start desiring that type of thing so bad, you get skewed in all of your other thinking. And you make huge mistakes. Money doesn't satisfy. Next, it doesn't help with contentment. It's never enough. Verse 10, nor he that loveth abundance. In other words, I want more than I need. I want more than all than my. I want extra. I want a lot. So it says, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. He wants it. Now he's profitable. He's getting more than he'll ever need. It says this also is vanity. Why? Because contentment is being satisfied with what you have now and not thinking you need something else to be happy. By the way, your joy ought to come in your relationship with God. And if your joy comes in anything other than your relationship with God, you're doomed to failure. Now, I'm not saying I'm thankful I have a good family and I find joy in my family. But we're looking for contentment in something. We think if we have more, we'll be content. And as we're chasing it, we're discontent. And then when we get it, we're still discontented. We always need $1 more. Isn't that what Rockefeller, at that time, the richest man in the world, they said, how much money do you need? He said, it's always going to be $1 more. I know. Because you're never satisfied, you're never content with what you have. Let me just ask you this. Are you content with your situation in life? Now, I'm not talking about if you have some things going on in your life and the way you're living that's causing troubles, you need to fix that. But I'm just talking about, you know, what you have and all your stuff and where you're at in life. If I could live there, if I could do this, I'd be content. No. If you're not content with what you have now, you won't be content if you got more later. We spend our lives chasing something that we think will make us content, and we're discontented the whole time, and we keep attaining and attaining, and then we look back and like, I've been discontented the whole time. Why do you want to wait to get something to be content with your life? You're wasting your time. Be content now. Enjoy life now. Enjoy what God has for you now. Remember, these athletes, they make so much money and they're just not happy. Remember, I think it was NBA players are on strike one time and they asked one of the players, I think it was Patrick Ewing, they said, you guys make a lot of money. Why do you want more? And he, being the brain surgeon that he was, he said, well, I know we have a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money. Wow, that's brilliant. Discontent. Also, next, it doesn't solve the problem of abundance. Here's the point. The more you have, the more you spend. He, in a little ways, was right. Verse 11, When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. They said when you do get more, you would think, okay, bear with me. You would think, okay, I need this much money for my bills, and I'm working, and I get raises, and I work hard, and I go up, and now I'm making more money. Now I'm making two times as much money, three times as much money, and you're still as tight on your budget as you were when you were making half as much as you made. I'm going to tell you why. Because whenever we start making money, we start adding to our budget. We start adding things, and it's like, man, I'm making more money. Shouldn't I have more money in the bank? We waste it. By the way, you can ask my wife. I despise waste. I'll do the finances. I'm like, what was that for? What did we buy that for? Now, by the way, if we need something, get it. I just don't like wasting money. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm like, you know, couldn't we get something cheaper? Couldn't we get something that, I get it, you know, dog food. Do they need to eat filet? By the way, we spend all this money on our dogs, and if you let them, they drink out of the toilet. I know I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, we're just, the more money we make, we just keep adding to our budget. We keep adding to our budget. And next, it's like, man, where is it all going? Abundance. We don't take the more. Learn how, by the way, let me say this. Learn how to live by a budget. Use your money wisely. You know, a lot of times our problem is, and this isn't financial advice, I'm throwing it out there. The problem isn't the money we make. The problem is we don't watch where it goes. Okay? And I've had people come like, hey, can you help me with my finances? And I'm like, okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a budget. Like, hey, do you have a budget? Here's the number one answer you hear. You ready? I can't afford to have a budget. Now, let's dissect that for a minute. So I don't have enough money, or I'm struggling to pay my bills, so the best course of action is not to know where my money's going. Brilliant. That works. We waste our money. We want more, and we want more, and we think, if I have more, then I'll have a buffer. And then we're not careful with it, because that type of mentality, it's just wasteful. How many athletes over the years that have made money ended up under a bridge? Some kid just gets drafted, he's 19 years old, all of a sudden he's wearing a $30,000 golden necklace. Really? You couldn't think of something better to do with that? Let's move on. Okay? It also doesn't solve the problem of payoff. Look at verse 11. And what good is there to the owners thereof with abundance, saving the beholding of them with the eyes? That thing we thought we needed, that thing we thought if we had or we bought or we had in the bank and it would really pay off and everything's going to be good, and we just sit there and stare at it. We don't do anything with it. By the way, aren't advertisers great? They make you want something you don't even need. They work in such a way, it's like, I have to have this or my life is incomplete. It's just advertisement. Our flesh and our greed, it kicks in. And we think we need something. And you know what happens? We get it, and it just sits there, and we don't use it. You say, can you prove it to me? Yes. Two words. Exercise equipment. If I buy that, and I'm not against exercise equipment. If I buy that treadmill, I will magically be in shape. I just set it in my garage, and then I look at it. And I'm like, I feel healthier just owning it. Do you know you got to get on it? I remember years ago, we bought a treadmill. Like this, back when we could get in our garage. And we put it in there. I think I got on it twice. All I know is I go in there, and they were using it to hang the laundry to dry. Come on now. Just walk around the block. It's free. That's not what we're talking about. We have so much stuff we don't use, we rent houses for them. It's called storage units. I look, I'm not for storage. I mean, you could do it. I'm just, at our house, it's like, oh, let's store this. It's like, are we going to use this? Well, you know, maybe next Christmas. Throw it away. I'll spend $5 and buy it next year. I don't want the space. But we get all this stuff, and we think we have to have it, and then we don't even use it. By the way, I'm not being fair. I've done that, okay? Like, that thing will work, man. I'll go in this store, you know, my wife, we're out on a date, and we're going to the store, so I'm like, it was like a man's store. I'm shocked they had one. And they had this, like, I don't know if it was like, not perfume, that's girls, cologne. It was like a little metal thing, and it was cool. And it was like a little tiny paste. I'm like, man, it actually smells like guy stuff. And I'm like, I need that. Now, I would never wear it. I didn't, and I looked at the price. I'm like, $65. I'm like, you know, I don't need it. I'm good. But we go in, I kind of have that, and we don't use it. That's what happens. Next, it doesn't deliver on peace. Prosperity usually brings more problems than solutions it provides. Look at verse 12. He says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There's something about going to bed at night saying, I'm working hard, I'm making the money, and I'm doing the best I can, and I'm trying to be good with my finances. You just go to sleep and say, it's all good. See, what we want is we want God to provide everything magically for us, and we don't do anything. By the way, when he says, you know, the sleep of a laboring man, that's someone that has a job. Okay, and you work it, and then you're doing what you can. There's something about working that's like, man, I'm doing what I can here. But the abundance of the rich, and then somebody that has all this stuff, and they're worried, are they going to lose it? I mean, I invested all this money in, you know, in Bitcoin or the stock market. How's that working for you now? Okay, just everybody shaking their head. No, I get it. Hopefully you'll rebound there, okay? By the way, now's the time to buy, but no. But you worry about it. That's why. You want to find out how families feel about money? Wait till the parents die. And everybody's fighting about the inheritance. And everybody wants their share. And they'll take each other to court. Be very careful. Okay? Peace is never wrapped up in the things of the life because the things of this life are temporal. Oftentimes, they're turbulent. They do nothing but cause trouble. And for sure, they're transient. They don't last. Protection. Finances don't protect us. Verse 13. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Their goal is to hold on to all they have accumulated, and it ends up costing them the things that are most important. How many marriages have been ruined because somebody was chasing the almighty dollar? Or they didn't have financial discipline? By the way, this is free. I'll throw it out there. Don't lie to each other about finances. Sometimes wives are, you know, I'm just hiding this. Be open and upfront. I do the finances in our family, and I'll be honest with you, I can buy whatever I want. But I'll never make a purchase of any size without asking my wife what she thinks. It's just the right thing to do. Now, if it's a donut, that's my decision. People have lost their families to their career. Well, I'm working to provide for them. That's great, but you know what else they want? They actually, believe it or not, want you. And I don't understand that either. People lose their health. People have lost their character because they're willing to do whatever they can to get what they want. I wonder sometimes if we don't need an RU class for materialism. Also, it doesn't provide security. Verse 14, but those riches perish by evil travail. Perish. Didn't Jesus tell us that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. God knows what you need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. That's where the security comes from. It comes from God. And then control. Finances can never be controlled. Look at verse 15. As he came forth out of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he can carry away in his hand. Do you know you're not taking anything with you?
Right.
Nothing. At all. You came in with nothing, and you're going to take nothing. And yet you'll spend your whole life chasing it. Right? Well, it doesn't work that way. There was a guy that he told his wife, he says, you know what, hon? I think I'm going to take it with me when I go. I'm going to take my prized possessions. She goes, I don't know about that. He goes, no, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my stuff, the things I want, treasure the most, I'm going to put it up in the attic. And then if I get sick, don't take me to hospital. Let me just die in the living room. And then when I die on the way up, I'll take it with me. And so she's like, whatever. And so he got sick one day. They put the stuff in the attic. He's sitting in there, and he died. After the funeral and all that, the wife gets a friend and goes, let's go check and see if he was able to take it with him. And so they went up into the attic, and there was stuff just sitting there. And the friend said, well, I guess you can't take it with you after all. And the wife said, no, maybe you should have put it in the basement. Moving on quickly, okay? Thank you. What's the point? That's a horrible thing to end on, isn't it? Here's the point. I'm not against God blessing you. I'm not against working hard. But the Bible is clearly against living for that. If your goal in life is strictly financial and not spiritual, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. And you're going to find out what you lived your life for isn't worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. How many we've known over the last few years, many rich and famous people, and they commit suicide. They have everything that the average person would love to have, and yet they killed themselves. I think they found out. You say, but it's okay for me to be like that because I'll never be rich. It doesn't matter about how much you're chasing. The fact is that you are chasing.
Yeah.
It's very important. Now, how can we cure this? It's very, very simple. Let me ask you this. Do you give? You know how you slay materialism? You know how you slay that whole mindset? You be a giver. God calls it tithing. You can tell if you have trouble with your finances and if it's an issue to you if you're not willing to give. I am thankful that early on, in my Christian life, and I wasn't even taught. It was when I got right with God, and I actually was a teenager because I was out of school early, that actually had a job, and I made decent money. And that was I just did it right off the bat. I'm like, Christians give. And I did that. And I'm glad God taught me that. And I'm glad I caught that. I never had to fight that because I started early. And by the way, it's not just giving, and I'm not, but we'll give to other things and people's needs and school bills and youth conference and all the different things. I want to use my money as a good and wise manager for the Lord. What about you? It's hard to do that when you think that money will solve all these problems in life. And again, I'm not against money. Okay, when you go to the grocery store, they're probably going to want some. When you go to the gas station, they're going to want a lot. Let's not be stingy with the Lord. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. We're going to do something here. Ushers, can you get the little card? These cards? And we're not even going to turn these in. I want you to think. The message was about finances, possessions, because someone has said this. They're great servants and they're terrible masters. When Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, he will love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other, he applied it to one specific thing. Do we know what he applied it to? Mammon. Mammon. Money. Now, that applies to everything. Don't get me wrong. We're going to pass. Go ahead, ushers. We'll pass these out. As we have our head, we're going to pass these down. This is, here's what I say when it comes to giving, and I'll encourage you to do this. This is between you and God. I encourage people to do what we call the tithing challenge. Because when it comes to our finances, God has promised in Malachi to bless us if we give. He says, we give the tithe. He says to test him, prove him now if I don't take care of you. So this is God's test, not mine. To me, if you're tentative, put God to the test and see if God doesn't bless and take care of you when you're giving. He can be trusted. We've had times in our life, God's been good to us. We have money for our bills. There are times in our life when we didn't have money for our bills. But I always gave my portion to God. And he always took care of me. On this card, I don't even want you to turn it in. I just want you to look at it. This is between you and God. If you're saying, Pastor, I already tithe and I will continue to do so, I encourage you to keep the card and check that. Some of us, we got away from it. Start tithing again. Some you never have. I encourage you to trust God and take the challenge. Choose a man. I'm going to do it for 90 days and see if God doesn't take care of me. By the way, God does. He's trustworthy. He's taken care of me all along the way. Sometimes I'm amazed at what he's done. And not just finance, everything. Man, I'm just like, I should be a train wreck. Okay. But I'll take it. Let's stand together. Maybe the problem this morning for you is that you put too much trust in stuff. You think that, and here's the deal. A lot of the things I mentioned this morning, those are things that God says only come from him. Security only comes from God. And so when we're trusting anything other than God for the security of our life, you know what we're doing? We're creating a false God. And I don't want to do that. I want to trust him. You pray over that card and make your decision. But maybe you're like Solomon. Solomon got everything he wanted. Solomon trusted in his stuff. And even though he got everything he wanted, he said, I hate life. And by the way, we all think everything turned out well for Solomon. The end of his life was horrific. It did not turn out well. He's an example for us today. Let's work hard. Let's be financially sound. Let's be smart with our money, pay our bills, try to get a little bit ahead. Nothing wrong with that. But let's not trust in it. Let's not trust in it. Let's trust in God. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you at all this morning, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Maybe you're here this morning, and I didn't talk about this, but I would be remiss if I did not mention it. Maybe you're here this morning, and you came to visit. We're thankful you're here. And you're not 100% for sure that you are even a child of God. In other words, you're not 100% for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. You have some doubt. Boy, the Bible's really clear on how we can know for sure. If you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I have some doubt. With nobody looking around, say, Pastor, it's me. If you raise your hand up quickly, I'll pray for you. Anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure.